Wherever you are in your adoption journey, we are a community centered around love, trust, and respect for the experience and opportunities that have made us families.
We promise to share, encourage, support, and celebrate the day-to-day of adoptive mamahood together. I'm Liz.
And I'm Sarah.
And together, we are two adoptive mamas. Welcome to Two Adoptive Mamas. We are so excited to have Laura Corey here. She is an author, and well, I'm actually going to let her explain how she's connected to the adoption and foster care community, but we are really excited to have her talking about things tonight. Thank you for coming, Laura.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Like I said, I'm really going to just punt it right off to you and tell us how you're connected to the adoption and foster care community so we can get started chatting.
Sure. So I am an adoptive mom of two girls. So I have an 11-year-old daughter who we adopted from private adoption back in 2009. And then later in 2016, we adopted our youngest daughter from foster care. And so after we adopted from foster care, we became foster parents ourselves. And so we had some experience with being some respite care and also with being foster parents. And then currently we have closed our foster care license officially, but we are still hoping that, you know, we can kind of, as a family, touch into foster through just donations, through supporting other people who are fostering, and just loving on the kids that we know who are still in the system.
Yeah, that's amazing. We have been talking a lot about community this season, and that's kind of where I'd like to go next. But I think it's a worthy reminder that we can be part of the community and we can be, you know, the hands and feet, even if we're not welcoming a child to live under our roof. There's a lot of different ways that we can be involved in supporting families who are caring for vulnerable children. So that's a great reminder. So to kind of transition into the next thing we wanted to talk about a little bit, that is community and combating isolation and kind of getting to the root of what true community is, not talking about the lofty idea of it up here. What does it look like to live that out? And so tell us, Laura, what is the root of meaningful community to you?
Yeah, I liked the way that you worded it with isolation, because boy, I mean, being a parent does at the beginning, especially at the beginning when they're infants, it is so isolating. And I'd say kind of unintentionally, that was where the first and most meaningful adoptive community came to me. So where I live in Michigan, if you have a baby in any certain month, you kind of join like a birth club from the hospital where you would deliver. And so, you know, since that wasn't the way I became a parent, I was kind of a little bit bummed that I wasn't going to be part of that. And, you know, just because you're just new and you don't know what you're doing, you don't know how to do anything, and just another group. Well, so one of the girls that adopted through the same agency that we used for our first adoption, she started that group. And, you know, I don't know, probably most people who are listening to this know that you're not really connecting a ton with the other people who are adopting because with your agency, because you just don't have that many opportunities to see them. And secondly, it's just kind of an awkward time because especially with infant adoption, you know, those people have a profile too. It's just, you want to, but it's just, you just don't really know how to get to people. So this wonderful girl, she started a group and we became like kind of an adoptive parent birth group of our own. And so when the kids were small for the first, till they all went to kindergarten, we would meet as often as we could. We tried to meet biweekly and just whoever could come and the kids could play and us parents could talk, and then we would get the dads together sometimes too. And that group still is just a really wonderful, tight-knit group that I can talk to about adoption-specific things that happen. Because I would say that that's kind of the other thing, is it's challenging when, you know, a lot of the, when the children are really small and all the other moms might be talking about breastfeeding or something that you just kind of like aren't doing as an adoptive mom. But we're talking about communicating with birth mom, you know, and it's just different things that you kind of need some support. And so that has been a really that has been just a really wonderful way that I've been able to have community.
I think that's a really good specific example. I also can resonate, you know, just having those conversations of you're in a group with other moms and you value the fact that there is a commonality in motherhood, but then some of those kind of like nitty gritty specifics of the day to day, you're like, oh, I can't do that, or I don't do that, or I haven't been able to do that, or I just can't relate to that because it's not the way that I became a mom. So finding people who get it is often how we have phrased it on the podcast. You just need someone who can be like, yeah, I got you. Like, I understand what you're saying. So yeah. I feel like you gave a really great example of how God has kind of gone over and above with abundance for community. I'm curious if you're willing to share, if there's something in your current season that you find yourself seeking, or maybe you're lacking in community right now, and how God has just really been revealing himself to you through that part of the journey.
I would just say the most challenging part about parenting, which is kind of, you know, we have work and we have all these things, but parenting is like that thing that you just want to do right the most. And that's something that I struggle with, that I, you know, you just always want, like, you're always sort of second guessing yourself. And I would seek community for that for sure. Like I have found, just wanting to, myself kind of yearning for some peace in the decisions that I make, making sure that they're correct or that they're, you know, going to be fruitful or the right things for the kids. Even sometimes just, you know, just little decisions like where are they going to go to school, or, you know, how are we going to navigate friendships and that kind of thing. But that's something that I'm yearning for. And I didn't get to mention, that I find like those social groups that you can find on Facebook, to be really helpful. I'm in a lot of them for, other parents that are foster parents and, other adoptive parents. One of my daughters, proudly has, dyslexia. And so I say proudly because she's like honing in and like feeling it and really, you know, able to own that that's something that she has, but it's something that I don't understand that much. So finding community with other parents that are kind of like going through the same thing is just so helpful.
Yeah, I think that's a great reminder. And even when you feel like there isn't something in person or locally, that those are a great option, and a great way to make connections. And it kind of makes a large community feel a little bit closer and not so scary. That's a great reminder. So tonight we are talking about the tale of Mallory Mouse, right? Mm-hmm. So tell us, Laura, about your passion for changing the adoption narrative and how you have done that through writing, and kind of how this came from your personal story. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So I wrote this book about my youngest daughter's adoption because she was adopted from foster care. And having had two daughters that were both adopted, the oldest daughter, it seemed like there was a lot of opportunities through literature that I could read stories where the children in the stories were also adopted in the same way. So it might not have been exact, but it was a good like jumping off point. And so when I went to describe adoption to my youngest, there wasn't any book for me to grab, because foster care, it can be so specific. Each situation can be very different from one another, but there just wasn't a lot of books out there in general. And I think I was confusing her a little bit, because I was trying to say, well, you know, your story wasn't exactly like that. This happened or that happened too. And so I just got onto, I want to write my own. And so I did. And we picked, my daughter Cecilia and I picked Mallory Mouse together. So we were kind of thinking the main character might be a monkey, but we decided on a little mouse, and then we picked the name Mallory. And I really just went through and told our story, exactly what happened in our situation. And my hope is that other children who are touched by the foster care system can have this book, and it can be a book that they can read. It can be a book that children can read at school, because there's a lot of children who are in every school who are in the foster care system, and they can at least see themselves in a character. And Mallory Mouse is just an adorable little character. So hoping that
she
that is
very cute.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll link it up in our show notes so you can see the book and how to purchase it. But yeah, it's super cute. The illustrations are great. So can you talk to us about the, if someone were to read this either at school or, like you said, like to pick up the book, what's the main message or the theme that you would want the child to have from reading the story?
Yeah, so I wrote the story trying to keep the adoptee, or in this case, Mallory Mouse, as completely the center. And I wanted, you know, at the very beginning of the story, it talks about how God was there when Mallory was, you know, was growing in her birth mother's belly. And so I wanted to include all of those parts. I wanted to include the beautiful birth mother who had her growing in her belly. And, you know, there's like a little heart attached, and just to make sure, you know, that not only was there love from that birth mother, but there was love from God, because God was part of her creation. And then it kind of continues into the hospital. And a lot of times that was just a part that I wasn't seeing in other adoption books at all, because I think sometimes they're written from the perspective of the adoptive parents, and we might not have been there when that happened, or, you know, it's just not usually from the perspective of kind of the child. So I wanted to include that. And through the whole story, there's the message that God was there, even when Mallory's birth mother wasn't able to care for her, and also were the doctors and the nurses. And it kind of continues into the theme, because in the story, Mallory spent time in foster care, and we were not her foster parents. So she was spent some time in another home, and there was a lot of back and forth between that home and my husband and I's home. And so it was kind of that confusion between like, where does she belong? She wondered where she belonged. Do I belong with this family or this family? And I tried to kind of use some comparative language, but even so, even though she felt like she didn't know where she belonged, she felt the loving eyes of her foster family. And she squealed in delight, you know, when she saw the loving eyes of her soon to be adoptive family. So just kind of, I wanted children to hopefully pick up that, you know, you can feel both those two things. You can feel the confusion, but also the love that you have for these people. So those are kind of the main themes, that there's God's love, that there's, you know, a resilience, and that you can kind of see the way that Mallory kind of guides through both of those.
I think having two feelings at once is something that is so tough to explain to a young child, and some
yes.
adults actually, I guess if you like, but
yeah.
that's a really tough concept to get through. So I'm curious if you, you know, it's so cool that you had almost like a partnership with your daughter in choosing Mallory Mouse as the character and the name and all of that. So it's very evident that this is kind of her story, or I guess her story applied to Mallory Mouse. How have you seen some of those themes and the messaging that you just shared, like, come out through the relationship you have with your daughter? How is it living out now in this current season?
Yeah, she loves the book. She's seven now, so she loves that. She's always telling me, I'm famous. You know, I have a character, and people can call me Cecilia, but they could call me Mallory. You know, she just loves that she's the main character of this book. And I think when I started writing it, it was kind of, it was during the pandemic. And that was around the time that our last foster, our little boy, he left and moved on to a home that included his siblings. So it was really a wonderful thing that he left, but it was very hard on us. And during that season, she didn't understand, even though we were living foster care, she didn't truly understand it. And it kind of like left this wound. But now through having this book, she seems to understand what foster care is and what adoption is. And I don't think that that was something that was making concrete sense to her at the time. So that has been the most profound thing, I think, that we learned. But I want her to know how much she's loved. I want her to know that her birth mother was, you know, a beautiful person. We don't have a relationship with her. And, you know, we often speak of her in our home. And, you know, we don't paint this beautiful picture of anything that we don't believe to be true, but we just, you know, talk about the things that we do know of her and try to keep her alive. We spend a lot of time praying for, you know, both of my children's birth parents and their extended families as well.
Yeah. Because of your, you know, your family's journey through foster care, I think it would be really helpful for our listeners if we could tackle this concept of family preservation. It's a big yeah. topic, but I mean, talk to us a little bit, Laura, about kind of your views on family preservation. Obviously you have fostered to adopt. You've also welcomed children who have then left your home. Kind of how have you walked this journey through various situations?
Yeah, it's interesting. My oldest daughter has a really wonderful relationship with her birth family. So the extended family, kind of everybody who was involved in the beginning is still involved. We have a nice relationship where are able to see one another and also exchange letters and pictures and get to see each other in person. And so, so it's easy to remember to pray for them by name and to talk about them by name and kind of describe things because we have a lot of shared experience. But then with my youngest, with foster care, but oftentimes you don't have the opportunity to have that relationship. So it is more challenging to kind of include that conversation because we just don't have a lot of information. But I do feel that, you know, that is a very important aspect, very important part of adoption and something that I want them to feel very comfortable coming to me when they have questions. I want them to feel very comfortable if they want to find out more information. And as we're, you know, as our world is changing and they're able to find out more information about their own body, I want them to be able to do that. So we're kind of just evolving kind of with the world as much as we can to find out as much information as we can about their birth families. And that's kind of like another one of those topics where you can feel both things. And I try to say that to both of them. As you know, I mean, I try not to put it into their head, but I want overall them to know that it's okay to long for your birth mother or your birth father and also love daddy and me. You know, I mean, the reality is that you probably do both of those things, and that's okay. It doesn't change anything that we have going on in our family. So
I'm curious if you could touch on how, you know, those two different paths for two different kiddos and knowing that you have had other children in your home who have then gone on. How has that, going back to community, how has that impacted that like day-to-day intentional community that you seek out or have back with your family? How have you kind of navigated all of those relationships, those changing and sometimes tense emotions between the two and balancing all of that?
Yeah, that I think foster parents need, they actually need a different kind of support network than adoptive parents even do. You know, I mean, first of all, in our state, you need to list the people who are going to support you, you know, with childcare or rides or doctor's appointments. And so kind of before you even get started, you have to pick four or five of them and you have to ask them for their driver's license and all of that. But I would say there were times during that season of fostering that I did feel isolated because it felt like, you know, we couldn't go, my family's out of state and we couldn't go to them if we needed to, because we were, you know, we were fostering and we were here unless we did some extensive finding people who could help you. So you do feel a little bit isolated, and it is important to get those support people kind of in place, and also those people who emotionally understand what it feels like, because there's a lot to fostering. You know, you're a lot of times you're doing visitations, and there's a lot of back and forth, and you have to follow so many rules. And so that time was a little bit isolating, but I did have actually my daughter Cecilia's, her foster family is still very dear friends of ours. And as they continued fostering, we became support for them as well. So it's kind of nice to offer your support back to people, because that's the way, you know, it's one way that all of us could support people who that we have in our lives who are fostering, is to offer that support, you know, help them with childcare, help them with rides, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's great. And we have had previous guests were just kind of that theme whenever we have an episode about that includes foster care, just saying, and be specific. And really that applies to anyone too, but like, be specific about what the help is. Like, don't just say like, oh, I'll help you whenever. It's like, no, all I'm going to drop off pizza on Thursday. Like,
yeah,
tell yes. me what time. So, cause sometimes when you are in the thick of it, like, you know, you just need to be specific about how you're going to help them. Sometimes the family doesn't know. So,
yeah, you don't even know what you need sometimes. You just,
yep.
But knowing that people are willing to drop off food or willing to help, yeah, you might be able to reach out to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is there anything that maybe the adoption community is not talking about enough? Or there's something that you would want a like prospective adoptive parent to know as they are beginning this journey?
I would say probably things that they're learning from their agency, but just kind of getting comfortable talking about your child, talking to your child about their adoption and practicing. I remember practicing on my oldest when she was really little and telling her adoption story, so that once she was able to really ask me, that I kind of was feeling fluent with the way that I would describe it. But one thing that was really challenging for me is learning to set those boundaries. And I think that the adoption community is talking about this, but I just don't think it can be over or understated, I guess, how important it is to set a boundary. So if people ask you questions that you're not comfortable answering in front of your child, or you don't want your child to hear that question, kind of like finding your flow in skirting around it, or being a little bit more, you know, abrasive, however you want to handle it. For me, I am like a very nice person, so I would never want the person to feel bad. But at the same time, my child is much more important than this stranger, you know? So I had to kind of like tiptoe into how I would handle those situations. So that's kind of always my suggestion to people, is just to get comfortable talking about it and not talking about it too, if that's the case.
Yeah, that's a great reminder. And not to feel pressure that you have to answer a question too. It's mm-hmm. it's your family's story, it's your child's story, and you have to feel right about that. So I like that reminder. So Laura, tell us what you're working on now and kind of how our listeners can find you, how they can locate Mallory Mouse. Give us the inside scoop.
Yeah, so I launched The Tale of Mallory Mouse, From Foster Care to Adoption, on Amazon. So that's where you can purchase it, is on Amazon. And then people would also be invited to follow me on Instagram at Mallory Mouse Books. And then I'm also on Facebook at The Tale of Mallory Mouse is the handle.
Okay. So lots of ways to find you. And for our listeners, if you didn't catch all that, we will be sure to link up all the Mallory things in our show notes. So be sure to check it out there. But Laura, it was such a privilege to talk with you. One of our favorite things to do in recent seasons has been to highlight children's literature. I think it's really important to talk about the great work that adoptive and foster moms are doing to get these books in the hands of our children and to equip parents to have conversations. And I think nothing can make us feel more comfortable than a children's book helping us to describe to our child how we became a forever family. It's really a tool for the whole family. So thank you for your important work and this corner of the adoption and foster care community. Thank you for sharing with us. We just really appreciate your time. And for all of our listeners, until we meet again, remember, you've got this, Mama. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode or know someone who could benefit from our show, the best thing to do is leave us a rating or review wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We are grateful to be hosting the Two Adoptive Mamas podcast for a fifth season. Learn more about how you can support our ongoing work through our Patreon at twoadoptivemamas.com. As always, it's been fun. Until we meet again, remember, you've got this, Mama.